You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, September 20th, 2024. Grandpa Dan wrapping up your work week and streaming with you here at RadioAlbion.com. Another crazy week. People being crazy. There's no end to it. I thought we'd just kind of, I kind of did this last week. I thought we'd kind of just take a look at some of the news stories, some of the stuff that's going on this week. I don't have any particular stories that I'm going to link up because we're just going to kind of hit a broad range of topics of different things that have gone on this week, different things that have caught my attention. Of course, one of those big things is this whole thing of blowing up the pagers and then the next day walkie-talkies in Lebanon. Hezbollah getting hit with these exploding pagers and exploding walkie-talkies. Those are very interesting thing. Several things that I looked at this story and took away from it. For starters, there was a lot of misinformation right off the bat online. I saw shills online trying to say, oh, this is just the batteries are blowing up. Batteries are not going to blow a hole in you. They're just going to catch fire. And but people were shilling this and trying to say, oh, no, it's just the batteries. And then this idea, they've been promoting this idea, I saw this yesterday. Oh, well, the Mossad intercepted these things and tampered with them en route. I don't find that believable. Let me tell you why. Because that always runs the risk that somebody's going to pull those out of the box. Somebody's going to do a sloppy job. And somebody's going to pull it out of the box and look at it and go, well, somebody's had this apart. Somebody's going to notice that the screws are all nicked up or somebody didn't get the seal around it quite right. Is going to become obvious, is going to set off an alarm. That's too risky. I think the most reasonable explanation is that they were there at the factory doing it. And these were made in Taiwan. And the Taiwan company tried to originally say, oh, this was made by another company in Hungary. But it turns out that company doesn't actually exist. Now, whether this was done, these explosives were planted, and it's pretty clear there were explosives planted here, not the nonsensical, oh, it's just the lithium-ion batteries overheating. It's just so many of this stuff depends on people being ignorant. You know, it really does. Because the media has created a narrative, like, for instance, around vape devices that, oh, these lithium-ion batteries are just going to blow up, you know, like an explosion. Kind of like when you watch the movies. It always cracks me up. Like when you watch the movies and the guy pulls the pin and throws the hand grenade and like it's like 700 pounds of TNT just explosion. There's this big fireball. This grenade blew up. When in reality, it's just like a big firework. Pop! It's just spread shrapnel. It shows some movie and the guy throws a hand grenade and it's a bigger explosion than a Claymore mine. And the media had this narrative going about these vape devices and the batteries would short out. And it says it's just a fire that burns really hot. Isn't it also curious when they were spreading that story and they were claiming that these vape device batteries were going to explode and like kill all these people and all this stuff. And then yet when they're at the same time pushing electric cars like Tesla that use a ginormous version of that same battery, and that's a-okay. You see, if you go around and you have a vape device in your pocket, you could kill yourself and those around you. But you can drive around in what would be comparatively a nuclear bomb version, if your little chintzy disposable vape device is akin to a hand grenade, then driving around in your Tesla, by their supposed logic, you're driving around with a nuclear bomb strapped to the bottom of your car. But that's no problem. In fact, if you don't do that, you're somehow morally inferior because you're killing the planet. Anyway, they planted explosives in these things. And whether or not they were there literally in Taiwan doing it, or the Taiwanese company let them set up another off-site place to put it together with their name on it. You see, the Taiwan company trying to run around and do plausible deniability, they 100% took a payoff. They were 100% in on it, and they're trying to now act like they're not. Now, this begs the question. Is this only limited to Hezbollah? I mean, it is for now, but if they will do this, you know, what who's to say they're going to limit it to Hezbollah? The only thing stopping them from spreading it somewhere else is themselves. How trustworthy are they to not perhaps have other people's devices? I'm not encouraging people to be schizoid and paranoid, but it does beg the question, how far does this go? How is it limited only to Hezbollah? Are other people, even if not now, is it reasonable to say in the future, other people could be targeted as well? Now, after doing this, blowing up multiple random devices, and obviously they don't know who's got these things. You know, they knew that these devices were basically ordered by Hezbollah, I'm assuming through proxy shell companies. They still don't know who all, you know, wound up with these devices. I saw an interview with a woman doctor in Lebanon, and she's like, well, we were all in the hospital freaked out because we all carry pagers. As doctors here, we all carry pagers, and they're wondering, you know, what if it's us? What if we have one that's a bomb? And that's a reasonable thing. You see, the media tries to do this whole narrative about Hezbollah, and I saw it on the network news, and they always describe Hezbollah as a terrorist group. They're actually a political party in Lebanon. You know, so it wouldn't be unreasonable that maybe some of these devices they have, they donate to charities or they donate to other people. I'm not saying, you know, that's 100% for sure either, but neither the Israelis. And we just know that they don't care. I mean, they just, it's an indiscriminate thing. They know innocent people are going to, but they don't care. And this tracks right perfectly along with their track record in Gaza and the West Bank and everywhere else. They just don't care. Now, one asked a question, though, do they limit this view of, you know, their view towards the Palestinians and the people in Lebanon? Are their views just limited to those people? Or do they view basically everybody else as also irrelevant as the Palestinians? Now, they followed this pager walkie-talkie blow-up thing. Now they're bombing Lebanon. They haven't achieved anything in the Gaza Strip that they set out to do, aside from killing a bunch of Palestinians. They did manage to do that, but they have not defeated Hamas. They have not secured the release of the hostages. You know, they have accomplished, aside from, again, killing a bunch of Palestinians, they haven't accomplished any military goals in Gaza. It's a failure. I mean, it is. It's a failure. It's like, you know, whenever you point out that the U.S.'s war against Iraq is a failure, and people say, what do you mean it's a failure? They got Saddam. They overthrew the government. Yes, but their long-term goal, the objective of the entire operation was to ultimately set up a puppet state, a Germany, if you would, in the Middle East in the form of Iraq. And you can look at Iraq today, and that by and large has been a failure. That hasn't really worked out. So they did all this and it was a failure. Now you have abject failures like Afghanistan, where they spent trillions of dollars and 20 years so that they could ultimately make the Taliban in charge of Afghanistan, just as they were before. Israel's failed to accomplish their objectives in the Gaza Strip, claiming at all the time, remember, they were claiming that their goal was to defeat Hamas and get the hostages back. That was their stated goals, and they failed to do that. Then they started attacking the Palestinians, trying to ethnically cleanse them in the West Bank. Hamas is not in the West Bank, and there's no hostages in the West Bank. So this proves again that the original thing was a lie. It's not really surprising. The original claimed objectives were a lie all along. They started attacking the West Bank. And now they're escalating with Hezbollah in the north. You have to look at this and you say, well, what are they trying to accomplish? It's really funny to watch the U.S. run around, because the U.S. in this relationship is the vassal state to Israel. As a truth they don't like you speaking. It's a truth that'll get you accused of anti-Semitism. But it is observable reality. We shouldn't be afraid to speak to observable reality. And the observable reality, when you look at the dynamic of this, America is the vassal state to Israel, just like Germany is a vassal state to America. The UK is a vassal state to the United States. These Western European democracies are all vassal states to the US, because you look at the dynamic. Why would Germany willingly choose to deindustrialize themselves and make themselves poor? Well, because they're a vassal state to the US and they just simply do what they're told. Same with Japan. Any of these observe, you can observe that these are vassal states. When you look at the dynamic between Israel and the U.S., it's clear that in that relationship, it is the U.S. that is the vassal state to Israel. And if that is the observable reality, and I think it is, then by extension, that means ultimately also all of these Western European countries are also vassal states to Israel. One of the things that really demonstrates this is makes it an interesting thing to watch, to observe, is how the U.S. is impotently going around and making these pronouncements about de-escalation, about a ceasefire. And Israel just keeps slapping them in the face. It's like a humiliation ritual. You have these politicians and these supposed diplomats from the U.S. talking about de-escalation and a ceasefire and securing this and securing that. And Israel just tells them to their face. I mean, the ultimate was when Israel assassinated the Hamas guy that was in charge of negotiating the ceasefire. If you needed I don't know how you could give out a clearer message that they're not interested in any form of ceasefire. They may have a lot of plans. Ceasefire is not one of them. And yet they talk about de-escalation. And Israel continues to escalate the situation. And then every time Israel escalates something, the U.S. runs around and hand waves and tells or threatens Iran or threatens Hezbollah or threatens whoever, don't you dare escalate. We don't want this conflict spreading. When it's time and time again, it's Israel that is escalating. And yet these politicians, these diplomats, they keep their mouths shut. They never once speak the obvious truth as to who is doing the escalating here. This isn't to whine about the situation. The reality is what the reality is. It would just be relief if they would just admit it. We have to do. All of our politicians and our government are owned by the Israel lobby. They're owned and they're a vassal state by Israel. There's a documented case where the Israelis have joked openly about America will do whatever we tell them to do. We own them. And yet, they'll sit around and warn countries like Iran against escalating. When time and time again, even with the best shilled media spin available, which I think the media here in the U.S., I look at the network media in the U.S., and they've basically, by and large, it's so impossible to shill this line that the Iranians or Hezbollah or whoever might be escalating in the face of time and time again. It's obvious who's doing the escalating. They just choose not to talk about it. They'll talk about the weather and the climate change and, of course, more of the ridiculous political theater in this stupid election year in the U.S. Anything. They just don't talk about it. They just, by and large, I mean, they'll cover it when Israel starts bombing Hezbollah. They have to cover it. They can't just ignore it completely. But they still then try to frame it as worries about escalation. U.S. officials tell CBS News that they're very concerned that the situation could be escalating. Well, who's doing the provoking? Who is obviously attempting to intentionally escalate the situation? And then they don't you dare, Iran. Don't you dare escalate. And then I see other people will criticize Iran for not taking the bait. I mean, if your enemy is clearly trying to get you to do something, it just makes sense that you're going to stop and say, well, why are they wanting me to do this? It's clear that Israel is doing everything they can to provoke a response from Iran or Hezbollah. I mean, they're doing that for a reason. Why? People sit there and say, oh, Iran, shills on the internet. Oh, Iran's a bunch of wussies. They won't do anything. What a bunch of cowards. See, they're scared of the Israelis. No, it's common sense. If your enemy is obviously baiting you, and I'm just a regular guy, and I can see it's obvious that Israel's trying their best to bait somebody into doing something, if you're the somebody that's being targeted, then it just makes sense that you're going to sit there and go, well, wait a minute, what are these guys trying to get me to do? Obviously, they're trying to get me to do, to provoke a reaction. What is their ultimate goal? I think their ultimate goal is to get the U.S. drug into a war with Iran. U.S. officials may whine and say they don't want that. The Pentagon will whine and say they don't want it because they know they can't win. Especially when they're busy provoking wars all over the world. But at the end of the day, you circle back to the reality that our politicians are bought and paid for, that America is a vassal state to Israel. So Israel is doing everything they can to drag the U.S. into war. If they can provoke a response from Iran, a real heavy-handed response, which everything Israel's done up to this point warrants that. When you bomb a country, can you imagine if Russia came in and bombed and killed Ukrainian officials in New York City, that the U.S. would just sit there and then somebody else come in, China come in and tell the U.S. warn against them against escalating? Well, they wouldn't do that because it would be unreasonable. You'd say, well, you bombed the territory inside of the United States. Of course, they're going to respond. And yet this dynamic in the Middle East is the other way around. Israel literally goes in and bombs targets, bombs people in other countries, be it Syria or Iran or whoever. And the U.S. runs around and warns them, don't you dare respond, you'll be escalating. You'll be escalating the situation. It's obvious that their angle is to provoke a response and then cry victim, like they always do. Claim it's the second coming of the Holocaust and get the U.S. to go to war with Iran, which the U.S. doesn't really want to do, but they will because they're a vassal state. No choice. Speaking of these goings on, the ridiculous political theater, of course, continues. I'm going to be so glad when this election year crap is over. I really am. I saw on the news this morning, they were showing the different candidates doing their thing. Israel, same difference. Trump was giving a speech at some Israel group. He's basically threatening to go after anybody who's a quote-unquote anti-Semite. And he just stands up there and talks all in all what he's going to do for Israel and what he's going to do for the Jews. Not America, the American people in general. The Jews specifically. What he's going to do for Israel, and Israel's threatened, Israel this, Israel that. It's a foreign country. Even if you bought into the greatest ally ever, it's still a foreign country. With their own national interests. And yet you have Trump up there groveling about what all he's going to do. You notice back in 2016, the 2016 Trump, he didn't take any money from anybody. But that Adelson woman, she gave him $100 million because supposedly the rumor is he's going to basically recognize Israel to take everything that the Palestinians have, the Gaza Strip, West Bank, all of it. No word on where the hell the Palestinians are supposed to go. I guess that's a them problem. Meanwhile, on the other side, Kamala Harris went on Oprah. She had a whole thing with Oprah there. So you got Trump up there doing the whole song and dance thing for yet another Israel group. And Kamala's doing the Oprah tour. It's just the absurdity of it. It's on. I said this before, and it warrants saying it again. I can just be willing to bet money. You're going to see, look for them to trot out some sort of quote unquote white supremacist narrative. Expect it. I'm telling you, because so many of because the polls are nonsense. They put these polls that show Trump and Harris close, or even Harris ahead, and it's BS. A lot of the rank and file, the actual Democrat voters, are very much opposed to what Israel is doing in the Middle East, specifically to the Palestinians. Their rank and file is very much disgusted with this, and correctly so. This is a problem, because Harris can't come out and attack Israel on the campaign trail, not even rhetorically, not even though everybody knows she wouldn't mean it. She's afraid to do that. She will not do that. So what are they going to have to do? The elections are fake and there's massive fraud and the whole system is corrupt and stupid. But at the same time, they need a certain amount of their base. If none of their base turns out to vote and they claim she won, there's just surely there's a breaking point of absurdity. So they've got to have something to dangle in front of the Democrat base. The Democrat base is focused on what Israel's doing, genociding the Palestinians. They got to give them something else. They got to dangle some other distraction in front of them. Well, we know they've already brought back Russian meddling in the election. They're already recycling that one. I absolutely expect them to manufacture a white supremacist. Get out. I keep telling people, expect the cartoon white supremacist to come out of the woodwork. Expect it. They got to have something to dangle in front of their base. Forget what Israel's doing, genociding the Palestinians. The white supremacists, they're going to come for your democracy, your values of who you are. Expect it. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I don't know the exact time frame, but before this election cycle is out, you're going to have the manufactured white supremacists come out of the woodwork, aka the federal agents are going to be out of the woodwork doing something that the news can run out there and cover, because they've got to get the Democrat base off of this genociding the Palestinians topic and on to something else. They obviously don't have new ideas. They're recycling the stupid Russia meddling in the election thing. So it just stands to reason they're going to go back to the well and do the evil white supremacists are coming for your democracy values of who you are. Another funny thing, talking about the absurd, stupid American elections, you notice the Trump, the latest Trump assassination story has already been memory holed. We don't even know where the guy is. Nothing else. We're less than a week, and this story has already been memory holed. It's just, Dr. Johnson had a great show on this yesterday, by the way. I spoke on it Monday. And Dr. Johnson, like I say, he did a show on this yesterday. Very good show. And it's still, we kind of wound up at the same point. These are people that actually believe everything that the media and the government say. I just find it funny that a story that should be huge. We've had two assassination attempts against a former president, as you were, or a presidential candidate, within a month or so. It's already memory hold. Speaking of such things, the weirdos are coming out of the woodwork. You notice that? People are so weird. I saw there was a deal. Somebody showed me a deal recently. This guy standing out here on a street corner, holding his hands up, and like a kid, with poo-poo guns, with this sign about Trump. And the sign is incoherent. I couldn't tell if he was pro-Trump, against Trump, or what. Just a weirdo. where are these people coming from? This is, you know, I get called cynical. People like you and I, we get called cynical for not taking these elections seriously. And you know what? I don't even care. You know, people, because when you look at the people who are taking it seriously, so many of them are freaking unhinged, right? You know, Trump talks nonstop about making Israel great, and yet you have MAGA cultists and they're acting like he's going to uproot the deep state. When all he really does is talk about what all he's going to do for Israel. You've got these other people who are just convinced. I was telling somebody this recently. You know, I was talking about these weirdos, you know, the Trump derangement people, who are convinced that he's just going to destroy our democracy values of who we are and all of the rest of the nonsense, whether he's going to be a Russian agent or the second coming of Hitler or whatever the narrative is, and these people that actually believe it. And it's like, well, he was in there for 4 years and nothing actually changed. And yet they're just detached from that reality. Whenever somebody gives you a hard time for not taking these elections seriously, take a look. You know, don't be gaslit by that. Take a look at these people, at the average person who does take these elections seriously. And you can feel better about your own mental well-being, your own spiritual well-being, your own mental health, because by and large, the people who really, really take this election nonsense seriously, there's a significant segment of them that on some level or another are unhinged. Now, they might be crazy, crazy unhinged, but you can see the denial of the reality. When you've got people who correctly have stated for years that the 2020 election, obviously there was massive voter fraud and the election was stolen for Trump, and yet now they're all running around talking about how we're all going to elect Trump because it's not going to happen this time or something. You got the derangement people that keep going on about Trump is going to destroy the democracy, declare himself a dictator, and round everybody else up and put them into camps, setting aside the certain amount of projection involved there. They had 4 years of Trump and no such thing happened. Why is he going to do it this time? This time, though, it's for real. They mock and they scoff and they call you whatever because you don't take the election seriously. But look at the people that do. When your whole system is based on lies, you pile up enough lies and pretty soon they just collapse on their own weight. Because when everything is a lie, then at some point in time, the contradictions just, the lies will ultimately wind up contradicting themselves. I have this whole deal. They're mad at Brazil right now because Brazil banned Twitter. I refuse to call it X. That is so stupid. But Twitter had been banned in Brazil, and U.S. government's having a fit over it. You've got to respect the people's freedom of speech. This censorship is against our values of who we are, which is always migrating, by the way. Well, the U.S., on the other hand, is banning RT, you know, banning this and banning that, cracking down on political speech. Dissident voices are harassed left and right. You know? And I don't call it hypocritical because they never meant that in the first place. You know, if they meant it in the first place, if they really ever believed in freedom of speech, then you could say it's hypocritical, but they never believed that. That's obvious at this point. Only someone who's delusional would think otherwise. They obviously never really believed that. It was a trick. But it is something to see the lie when they still, one side of the mouth, they still try to talk about believing in the freedom of speech and people have to be able to speak their political opinions. And then on the other hand, they're doing everything they can to make sure people don't do that very thing, at least unless they're agreeing with everything the government says. It's not hypocritical, but it does destroy their legitimacy. Because even people that tune that out, you know, and don't understand it, I have to believe that on some level or another, it does register that this doesn't make sense, you know? People in your personal life that are known liars, that have lied to you over and over again, they lose legitimacy. And they'll get offended. You know, you got a liar in your life. And then, like, when they tell you something and you go and check or you re-question them about it later, they'll get offended. What, you don't believe me? Well, no, I mean, why the hell should I? You've got a track record of lying over and over. Of course, I'm not going to take you at your word. That is something people do on a personal level, just out of instinct. You will do that. You know, you run into somebody and they lie to you all the time. When they tell you something, you're not going to take it at face value because you register with this person. You know, they're not above lying. They have no problem with lying. Likewise, people go along with this system and this ridiculous government. But subconsciously, on that same part of their brain that does that in their personal life, is registering that these people are known liars. And it is. It breaks down their legitimacy. They're going to need this legitimacy. They're being drug into a war in the Middle East. They keep provoking the war. They're really at a turning point on the Ukraine thing. They've either got to push. I did a show recently, pretty decent, if I say so myself, talking, likening this thing with the U.S. has been bluffing at the poker table. You know, I hope you caught that show. They're bluffing at the poker table, and they've got no choice now but to keep bluffing. That's kind of, they're at that point with the Ukraine thing. You know, and it's kind of, they're going to have to fish or cut bait. The Ukraine thing is at the point NATO's going to have to get directly involved, which they already are, but openly directly involved, or they're going to have to cut their losses. It's one or the other. I don't think they really want to do that, but on the other hand, they've got Israel doing everything they can to drag them into a war in the Middle East. And there's probably still enough competent people at the Pentagon to tell them, we can't do that. We will have 100% our hands entirely full if we take on Iran. That's not even a guaranteed win. The media will tell you it's a guaranteed win. It'd be a walk in the park for the U.S. to take on Iran. Shills will tell you it'll be a two-day deal. But the reality is, I guarantee you, their own people in the Pentagon are going, we can't guarantee you a win against Iran. I mean, we can try, but I guarantee there's people that are telling them there's no way we can do Iran and Russia at the same time. There's just not. And then you expand it. You've also got another faction, because no one's actually in charge. You got all these people doing it. You got another faction that's hyping war with China. If the U.S. military is going to have their hands full with Iran alone, and again, Israel's doing everything they can to drag them into a war with Iran, and they can't do Iran and Russia at the same time. Iran, Russia, and China at the same time is just going to be a blowout. It's just not going to happen. I laugh when shills are still promoting this idea that America has this overwhelming military force. I'm not saying it's insignificant. But obviously, America just spends a lot on its military. It's not that its military is so good. It's just very expensive, because that's what everybody points to. America is the most powerful military on the face of the planet. What do you base this on? They got their asses kicked in Afghanistan. What goals have they actually achieved? Yeah, hell, I mean, since World War II, exactly what goals have they militarily achieved? What they wind up pointing to is they'll look at how much more the U.S. spends on their military versus everyone else in the world. Oh, and by the way, these countries that spend way less than U.S. does on their military budgets, those are also the countries that are a threat to our democracy values of who we are. They're the warmongers, the ones that spend a fraction of what the U.S. does on military. People point to that, how much it costs. And yet you have the Ukraine thing where they've sent their Wunderwaffen in there. They've sent all of this stuff that's very, very expensive. Hell, they sailed a carrier group into the in there to threaten the Houthis, and they had to run away. It's very expensive. I'm not saying it's insignificant. You know, that's how conflicts are. But this idea, this overhyped idea that the U.S. is this overwhelming, super powerful military, man, it's fiction. It's expensive military, but that's due to all the corruption. Obviously, the Wunderwaffen isn't very wunderful. But we're supposed to believe. Yeah, and you have all of this, this backdrop. Obviously, the U.S. government is a vassal state to Israel. That's observed reality. That's not conspiracy theory or anti-Semitism or however they would point and scream. That's an observable reality. And yet, at the same time, we're all supposed to believe this election matters. Think about that. We're all supposed to believe that this election is so important and it matters. And what's scary, as I said already, what's scary is the people that really do believe that. No wonder a lot of them seem unhinged, because you have to be a little unhinged to believe it. When the observable reality is the U.S. is a vassal state to Israel, they're going to ultimately do what they're instructed, what they're told to do. I don't know where the Ukraine thing is going to go, but the good money, the smart money, is the U.S. going to get drug into a war with Iran? Because that's what Israel wants. And ultimately, the client state does what the dominant state, what the state that's in charge, wants them to do. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a good weekend. I appreciate you stopping by today to wrap up your week with us. If you haven't had a chance, be sure and check out all our great content here. Like I said, Dr. Johnson had a great show yesterday. Also, his Orthodox Nationalist show on Wednesday. I had the Parish of the Patriots Tuesday, kicked off the week on Monday. Hope you'll get a chance over the weekend, if you missed any of it, to download it, maybe give it a listen while you're barbecuing, out there mowing, winding summer down. I hope you get a chance to do it. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Don't forget to enjoy life. Don't let this stuff, don't be those people. Don't get stressed over these things. You don't have any control over it. Nothing makes you smarter, more moral, more righteous to, you know, what do I want to say? To agonize over things that you don't have any ability to control. Be aware of what's going on so you can make smart decisions accordingly. But at the same time, go on, enjoy life. You know, laugh with your family, laugh with your friends. Life goes on. And I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.